No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today, I'm in here with my man, Khalil, the brains behind Wicked Thoughts.
My guy.
I feel like every time I wear your shit, I end up having to explain who you are or who the brand is to, like, someone. So that's, like, a good enough reason right there for us to do this interview, just so that I can be, like, watch his interview.
I never
have to explain it to you.
100%.
Yeah.
Honestly, because it'd be, like, the whole time, even, like, coming up myself, it's, like, you know, I never wanted to kind of be, like, the main person. I just wanted the clothes to speak for themselves.
Right.
And they do. You know what I'm saying? Like, like the same response you be getting is the same response I be getting, because I wear this shit like every day. So it'd be like, sometimes niggas hit me up, where'd you get that jacket? And I'd be like, oh, the homie made it. You know what I'm saying? Go get it. Just because it's like, I want to see like people reaction to it like thoroughly, you know?
But I mean, there's two very different types of brands these days, where you have brands where the founder really kind of stays out of the limelight and tries to really let the brand speak for itself. And then you have, you know, there's a lot of other brands where the founder is like the whole thing, and they're basically like, you know, it's kind of, sometimes it's hard to separate fashion from like influencer merch,
which
is not where you want to be at. If you're a fashion brand, you don't want to just seem like some guy who's making logos with his name,
right? Because I mean, it's all about like niggas want to outlive their own shit, you know what I'm saying? So it's what it's like, nigga, if I was to die today, niggas wouldn't even notice. I mean, of course the people that know would know, but the brand would still be going forward, you know what I'm saying, 10 years from now. And I think that that's important,
right?
I mean, because it's like, let's just say for example, like somebody like I'm not even going to name a name, but like, let's just say somebody that was hot 10 years ago and that's not hot 10 years right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It'd be like, now the nigga go from selling 5,000 units to selling 500 because his name ain't where it used to be. You know what I'm saying?
And if you're a person starting a brand, you really want, in theory, if you're going to build a brand that's supposed to last, you want to be able to be, you know, 58 years old and washed and still have something that's hot, so that the kids who don't even know about you or might, you know, go and read an article or watch a video and figure out who you are. I mean, that's the ideal brand, is one that is really kind of completely separate from the founder.
Right. It's like James Jevier, you know, like you say that name, nobody's not even going to know 9 times out of 10. That's like one of the people from Supreme. You know, that's one of the top owners. So it's just like, you ain't never seen what he looked like. Even like the people from like Iron Maiden and shit like that.
Right.
It's like these huge brands, these multi-million-dollar brands, that's like, when you really like think about it, you never seen their face more than like 5-10 times. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But like, just like, I don't know, it's crazy, but the brand is huge though, you know?
Yeah.
So that's like where I'm at with it. But then at the same time, it's like, I like kind of opened up like the spectrum of just like, a lot of people don't think, because of the clothes, like, I'm really from LA. Like, I'm really from the district. Like, I'm not like an implant type of nigga to where I came here. Like, I really went to 42nd. I really went to Audubon. I really went to Crenshaw. You know, I went to Westchester. Like, and I'm really young, so it's like, it's like niggas be seeing me for the first time, like, oh, bro, I thought you'd be like this, like a streetwear, like, nerd. And it's like, nigga, I don't even be looking at that shit. I just got like a eye for just nice shit that I would like to wear.
But that's funny, because whenever people ask me about the brand and I'm wearing something, I'll be like, yeah, it's my homie Khalil's brand. He's like a young dude from South Central who's got this brand.
Right.
Because I feel like I want to explain the full context of it.
Absolutely.
Because it would hit differently. Like the anti-Klan logo would hit different coming from somebody who seemed like they had never really had to face all that much bullshit in their life, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that really be another thing too, because it'd be like, a lot of times people don't understand the reference point, you know? Mm. So it'd be like, for example, I might wear this shit and one person might be like, that shit is weak. But it's like, I might wear it and then somebody might be like, yo, that's the hardest shit I ever seen.
Right.
But it's really all just about the reference point. You know what I'm saying? Like, how did you grow up? Like, you know, niggas, a lot of people ain't experienced nothing, but then a lot of people have. So it's like, that's why I be wanting to like hop in sometimes and be like, look, I'm really like this. Yeah, I seen a comment the other day, because we doing the whole Clutch Busters campaign right now. And somebody like, man, he's probably like some white dude, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Profiting all this shit. And I'm like, I don't even comment, you know, but I just be like, God damn, like, nigga, I'm black. You feel me? Like, I done been through some shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is like, it's weird, but.
Because I was thinking about that earlier, is that probably the average kid who buys that has never seen Ghostbusters and has never seen a Klansman in real life.
Right.
seen Ghostbusters. I don't think I ever seen a Klansman in real life.
Right. I think also, but like, I don't know.
Obviously, it's about what that represents.
It's about the representation of everything. But it's like, that's kind of like the fun part of Clex Busters, because that's just like a segment within the brand, which is Wicked Thoughts. That's like the umbrella for everything, right? But like with Clex Busters, we try to make it like very conceptual, and like we do like the little short films where I'm acting like somebody from like the Ghostbusters movie, but like make it about like this and that. And I think that's what the people buy into, because we create like that lifestyle, kind of like suck people in it if they've never been in it, to just kind of understand the message. And I think that's why it's so strong.
And it can be kind of hard to mix fashion and a message. Would you say that? Like, I've seen a lot of clothes, a lot of anti-racism clothes that it's like, okay, I fuck with the message, but that is not a cool looking t-shirt.
Yeah, it'll be corny. It'll be like some corny shit of like one thing I've seen a lot, because you know, now that we on like this type of platform, it's like I'm like one of the starters. I'm like one of the, you know, like that's my whole campaign. But like other people try to do it, and it'll be like some corny shit where it's like a Klansman hanging from a tree, like just some all out wild shit. Like, I'm not finna go wear that, my nigga. You
that's
know what I'm saying?
Much.
That's too much. It's too graphic. Like, I like wearing things that's like subtle, or if I do things like this, it's like it ain't gotta be too loud. Like, it's gonna speak for itself, you know?
Yeah, I like that for sure. So, okay, you're from South Central? Or where exactly?
So, I'm from the district. I'm from the Crenshaw district. I'm like born and raised in the Ave. So, like, I'm really out, like, to be specific for like the LA area, like the LA lingo, like, I'm born in the 40s. So, that's like between like Crenshaw to Fig, all the way from King to 48th. You know what I'm saying? So, it's like a big, huge square. And, within that realm, it's just like, you know, you got legends like down the street, you got Nip Hussle. So he's born and raised out the 60s. So that's like 10 blocks up. And then you got, you know, L.A. legends like Dom Kennedy, which is from Leimert Park. And that's how, like, I'm like so cool with him, because that's like right up the street, you know?
Right. So you, those were some of the heroes that you were looking at as a young man, looking at them as like what's possible coming out of that
Absolutely.
Area?
Absolutely. And I think that's honestly, like, when people ask me like what are my influences, I already like know, I always say like it's Nipsey, it's Dom. It's never been like fashion heads for me. I never looked up to those type of people, because it's like you never
can't
know.
Relate to it.
Yeah, I can't relate to that, you know. But like seeing Nip, like I literally seen, my brother used to tell me how Nip would like hop out like on fucking Slauson and Western selling CDs, his own CDs, you know. This is before like the Marathon, you know, to like having his own smart store. And then like, you know, even like I went to Audubon, and I remember like when I used to walk down the street, like before I even know who Dom Kennedy was, looking back, I'm like, damn, I used to be Dom Kennedy. I would see him in his like backyard and shit, just chilling with his friends, you know?
Right.
And I'm like at the 6th, 7th grade at this point, so it's like I don't know who that is yet. But then it's like when I'm in 10th grade, I'm like, oh shit, that's the nigga, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I used to walk home and see them niggas every day, you know, to like, you know, now they like got multi-million-dollar companies, you know? And I think like they set the structure and just the standard of just like, you know, like how you should move. So
yeah,
that's how I kind of like operate.
Nipsey and Dom, you could kind of put them in a similar category of dudes from the generation who really got it out the mud and did stuff like largely independent.
Yeah, independent. Especially like with hits like, you know, just Check Me Out from Nip and Dom, to like Dom with the whole like fucking Yellow Album, and just fucking My Type of Party, and just like the tours that they you know, had, and just all the shit that they done, man. I just feel like overall, it don't need to resonate with the streetwear for me to get the reference point, you know? And that's just really, you know, being a young person out of the ghetto, or like somewhere where it's not really that usual, you know what I'm saying? It's not really one of those things you see every day, to like really, like, you know, being the man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody want to be the man, you know? That's what it is.
For real. But so, okay, when you saw them, was your first instinct to be like, I want to be a rapper?
No. That's a good question. That's a great question.
I mean, just you tend to like kind of imitate the stuff you see going, even though you ended up finding a different route.
Absolutely. I feel like it was. You know, it's actually so crazy. I say it on here. Like, I used to write raps and shit. I used to think I was hard. Like, like a lot of niggas that like really, really know me would be like my best friends. This is like between me and my best friends. They'd be like, yo, that nigga Khalil could kind of spit just from what I used to do. But it's like when I came into it, it was kind of like 9th, 10th grade when I really started to like think like, damn, what do I really want to do? I realized how many people wanted to be rappers. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just one of those things. I wouldn't say I wouldn't believe, but I'm like, let me be different. You know what I'm saying? Let me let them have they shine in that, and then I'm going to go attack this. Because at the time, niggas saying like, oh, yeah, I got my own clothing brand. That mm-hmm. wasn't a thing in South Central yet. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Because I feel like I end up looking at young rappers all the time, and I don't want to kill their dreams or nothing, but I'll be looking at them thinking like, you're going to be really successful in life once you figure out that you need to stop chasing this rapping shit.
Because right.
if you can pull it off, then for sure it's an amazing way of life. You can make a lot of money. You can be super famous. It's right. pretty obvious and easy to understand why anybody would want to be a rapper.
Right.
But the reality, like, I see people all the time where I'm like, I just know your energy could be put in a different direction that would be more successful, because being a rapper is like, there's just very few people that people are going to be comfortable listening to speak to them that way over beats. And right. it's the most competitive landscape imaginable.
It's actually crazy. I was just having this conversation with my friend, like, and I was just saying like how like a lot of the times people just go for like the stars. But
exactly,
it's like
yeah.
a lot of times people don't really understand it's a very successful career being on the back end as well. Mm. Like for me, like having a business and running a business and owning a business, it's like, you realize, like, nigga, everything costs money. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And not only do it cost money, it costs a great amount of money. You know, so it's like, you don't have to be the rapper, but you could be the engineer. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Or you don't have to be the engineer, but you could be, like, the person that's marketing for that rapper, you know? And you're going to get paid just as much as, not as much, but you'll get paid when they start to get paid. So yeah. it's like, you don't always have to be this. And I just kind of knew that from the beginning.
Some of the most successful people that I've met over the past few years, like, for instance, 100K Track, who manages YNW Melly and King Von and shit, he was trying to be a rapper at a certain point.
Right.
He meets Kodak. He meets Melly. He starts to realize, like, oh, these guys are really fucking talented as rappers. I should right. probably like help them out rather than just doing my own career. Now he got his own management company signing tons what? Of artists, all this shit. And the main thing that allowed him to do that was just the moment where he sort of realized like, all right, maybe I don't need to be the star of the show.
It's a
and
bag everywhere.
He got
everywhere.
Rich as fuck as a result.
Yeah, it's a bag everywhere. Yeah. It's just not like basketball, football. Like, it's a bag in every fucking business. When you wake up, it's like a recycling bag that's just in the open for everybody to get. But I think one of the things that like I like to talk about a lot with my friends is just the exposure of things. Mm-hmm. Like, growing up, it's only like, you know, usual to see somebody make it out the hood from playing basketball. So mm-hmm. nobody thinks, let me go be, you know, the motherfucker that just runs the company. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? A fucking basketball camp. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to make you money. And not only is that going to make you money, but that's going to make you passive money to where it's like, yeah, every month these niggas that's, you know, playing ball, they gotta throw me some. You know yeah. what I'm saying?
And usually if you want to get, like, really rich, the way to get really rich is not to just do the thing that everybody else is doing
right.
and do it a little bit better,
right.
but to find your own lane and do something completely separate from the crowd, you know?
Because then you're in your own lane. Yeah. And it's like when you're in your... That, and that's actually... It's cool that you say that, too, because that's kind of what it was for me. Just like even in my whole like career doing Wicked Thoughts, it was like I was making the cool designs that I was like, it ain't really that much substance there. And then when I started to like realize, oh, shit, like... You could stand out a lot more from when you just put substance into what you're doing.
Mm.
So then I had to like go find elements of things that was inspirational to me. And I'm like, okay, what do I what's the reference point going to be?
Right.
And then when I figured that out, I'm like, damn, ain't nobody in this lane, you know? And I started to see the responses and it was like fairly a lot because it was like, ain't nobody ever seen that.
Yeah. I feel like as a fashion person, as a person who's making clothes, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that a lot of it comes from like you go out, you learn, you take things, you figure out things, et cetera, and then you sort of like find ways to consolidate that into a garment.
Right.
A way
Absolutely.
That's acceptable to the people that they'll think it looks cool, et cetera.
Yeah.
But like, because a lot of times there's been an item of clothing I've seen from a designer brand or whatever, and maybe I don't get the reference and I Google it and I realize like, oh, this is a very, very clever
right.
take on something that I didn't even know about. The designer
right.
was just like putting these things that he was interested in
right.
into these garments.
Now, watch out, y'all. We about to hire Adam for our creative direction. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want
to
go that direction.
Because you know. But that's what it's about, though. It's really about like pulling shit. You know what I'm saying? So like if I, it's like, you know, let's say, for example, if I got a brand name, Wicked Thoughts, and it's like, okay, what's wicked? Well, and that's like, okay, these are my thoughts. It's like, okay, now let me go really go learn about some shit. You know what I'm saying? And you'd be surprised how many things that like have you intrigued by shit has the same effect on so many people, even if it's the weirdest shit that you think nobody know about.
Right.
To have like 7 to 10 billion people on this earth, trust me, it's about a good million people for sure that know about the creepiest, strangest, like randomest shit. You know what I'm saying? And that could be your niche. I say all that, like that could be the people that you like talk to. You know what I'm saying?
So what was your ideas on fashion? Like, what was the stuff that intrigued you about clothing before you actually started to make a brand? Like, what do you look at and say, okay, that was something that made me interested in clothes?
Honestly, to be completely honest, I think it was just me, like the love for skateboarding that I had. I used to skateboard back in the day from probably like 6th grade all the way up until like 9th, 10th grade, right? Now I would say 6th to like 9th, 10th grade. I used to skate every day. From sun up to sundown, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., like on the weekends, whatever the case may be. Then I started breaking legs because I started getting too good. You start trying to do shit. You know what I'm saying? You run up to a 10 stair and you'd be like, yeah, I think I could do it. Then you know, you do it. And the adrenaline off of that came. But it was just like the companies that I was seeing. So like Toy Machine, I was seeing Chocolate. I was seeing Lakai and all of these different brands. They didn't have too much into streetwear, but they were like, you know,
they stand for something. Yeah. They had like a decided vision.
Right. They had like a nice little flannel shirt, you know, and then like I liked the message. Like for example, Death Wish. What? Death Wish was my favorite brand because they had this nigga Antoine Dixon. Like, I could give you a story of Antoine Dixon. Like, fucking 10 years ago, we go up to Hawthorne Skate Park, which is the dirty. And he like, yeah, y'all niggas want to smoke? And we like, damn, nigga, like, we just like, what the fuck? You gonna let us smoke? But we young, you
How
know
old
what
are
I'm
you,
saying?
Like 12?
I'm like 12. He like, yeah, hit the, but, you know, because the homie pulled up with some weed.
Right.
But I ain't never been smoking, so I was just like, yeah, y'all go do y'all thing. But he was so hella chill, and I looked up to him for that. Because, you know, when you meet when you meet people, sometimes they not who they really are, you know? But he was exactly what I thought he would be, like, so animated, so, like, just crazy. I'm like, wow. And then it's like I mixed that because I met my best friend. My best friend name is T. Okay. And like we met one day just skateboarding, and he was like, nigga, what you got, a chocolate hat on? I'm like, yeah. So I started seeing he was into clothes.
Right.
And then I started mixing the clothes up with the skate wear. And then we just kind of like I kind of formed something within that. And then that just took me to, I guess, streetwear.
Because if you're filming clips on a skateboard, you start to think at a certain point, like, I mean, how this clip looks is pretty much all about what I'm wearing.
Right.
Like, if I do a rail and I'm just like shit, or I do a rail and I got this really cool shirt on, I'm going to like the clip of me doing the rail with the cool shirt on way more.
Yeah. It's like if you pull up to the function, like we just went to Sadie's Hawkins, and, I'm there. I went to the polo store to go get ready off Rodeo. I pulled up in that bitch all purple label. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm like, damn, I'm feeling good, you know? And if I'm feeling good, like, I'm on the bitches, you know what I'm saying? Or I'm on the women, you know what I'm saying? I'm on the women, and we having a great time. And, you know, like, I know in my head I got on purple label. It's the same thing when you doing a trick. You might have on a Clutch Busters jacket or a no jumper jacket and make you feel good. Like, damn, look at how I just rolled away from this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, it's the whole thing.
100%. But, okay, did you have the thing in your head of, like, I shouldn't be skateboarding because I'm a young black kid and this shit ain't cool in our culture? Or were you already past that?
Right. I think for me it was kind of different because it was, like, that's always been one thing about me. So, like, I've always been somebody who's been a free thinker. So, like, I never really cared about what people think. I always was, like, into my own world. Like, even for when I was a kid, like, when I was in high school, I dropped out. And everybody was like, oh, man, you know, you talking stupid right now. Why are you dropping out? But it was just like, this is not for me. I'm
really?
Not fucking with
you
this.
You were that confident in
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And I'm like, at the time, I'm probably 16, 17 at the time. That's probably, like, the time I made my first shirt. And, you know, everybody was doubting me, but I knew in my head, I'm like, this is what I'm on. So it was the same thing for skateboarding. It was like, you know, like, I'm pretty sure when you fucking BMX, you'd be like, damn, you'd be having the time of your life.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not an egotistic world when you out and you fucking 180 and off of a rail and you coaching your best friend or your homeboy within that realm and being like, you got it, go again.
I mean, you don't really like have the right, or like, it takes a lot of nerve to run a brand unless you have that thing inside you that is like, I'm gonna do the shit that I think is cool, and I don't give a fuck about what anybody else thinks. Because if you're just gonna do shit that's exact like in line with what everybody else likes, it's gonna be a problem. Like, why the fuck would anybody gravitate towards your shit? You
again, that goes back to like not standing out. You're not in you and everybody else lane. Why the fuck are we finna go in your lane? Like, I'm finna go where I could do 100, you know, in the lane that's wide open. So like, growing up, when I was skateboarding, it was like, I thought that shit was cool because I was just having the time of my life, coming in at 10 p.m. every night, getting on punishment because I done seen the whole world with fucking $1 catching a bus. You know what I'm saying? It was just cool. I was just having fun and content saying I ain't got no money for the bus, and me and all my friends hopping on the bus, you know, just exploring life, seeing crackheads.
That was a huge part of it for me. It was like, my bike was just a vehicle for me to go out and see what the fuck was going on and be around all this random shit that I just realized, like, this is what I was missing out on by being 12 in my room on a Friday night. Now I'm out on my bike on a Friday night, so I can experience life.
And you could really get around, you know what I'm saying? And from getting around, you'll see shit. You'll see like crazy ass crackheads doing crackhead funny shit. At the time, you a kid, so it's funny. Or you'll see like fights, or you'll see girls, or like just a lot of shit that you wouldn't necessarily see if you just stayed in the house. So skateboarding was kind of like, that was my inspiration. To go back to your other question, like, that's how I got to where I'm at right now. Because then if I'm on the bus and I see somebody with some nice J's on, I'm like, damn, I like that. You know what I'm saying? Then I start looking at what's in that. So it was like skateboarding was like an open ticket for me to really just explore the things that I like and like be exposed to different things.
And the one thing I like about skateboarding and a lot of brands really in a lot of different niches is like, there's a reason why this exists. Like, we are skateboarders, we care about skateboard, we care about making skateboard videos, etc. So it's like, there's an inherent value behind the brand, and a lot of brands don't really stand for anything. And that's one thing that I think is dope about your brand, is that like almost every piece has a message,
right?
And that's what I think is important, because if a brand don't seem like it means anything, then why the fuck would anyone gravitate towards it,
right? You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing. I mean, and that's kind of like just what I think like that's really important. But like, on top of that, I stand for something, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's going to bleed into whatever I do. Like, I like, you know, like a lot of people in LA see me grow up, you know, and they really like say like, damn, I remember when you was doing it like this and now you're doing it like that. And I'd be like, duh, nigga, like, you know what I'm saying? It was only a matter of time, but I always stick with it and I always had that confidence, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't know, like, you know.
I saw a quote in that documentary about Von Dutch that I was just watching, which got me super fucking geeked about just like clothing brands in general, even though that clothing brand was like mostly totally mismanaged in terms of its, you didn't see this yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
You would love it.
Yeah.
Because your brand's way cooler than what the fuck they ended up turning into. Yeah. But it was like a brand that was really based on something cool and like motorcycle culture and hot rods and everything. And then the brand, like, they just kept getting people involved who just didn't give a fuck about that and wanted to make it big, wanted to make it Hollywood. And you got to really see this powerful brand just be destroyed in front of your eyes.
That's how it goes.
It's fascinating. But one of the quotes that one of the older dudes who was around in the brand early said is, he goes, I firmly believe that what your brand stands for is way more important than what your brand sells.
Yeah. No,
and that's
absolutely
a fact. Because you guys could not sell anything for the next 6 months, and the brand still stands as meaning something.
Yeah. It's like when you really look at those brands that's really came in the game so strong, it's like, it's not even about the money, it's about the reputation. So it's like, even like, you know, like to name drop great brands like FTP and Born and Raised and Hype Land and you know, like shit, Wicked Thoughts. You know what I'm saying? It's like, even Menace, right? These brands came in the game with like a motive. Like, I wanna be put on the map for this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, for example, for me, it was like, back in the day, we wasn't making no money like that. We was barely even making money. But it was just like, the more I seen people fucking with it, the more I'm like, I'm gonna keep going. But like, when you start like to involve people who don't give a fuck about it and they only see it for an opportunity, that's kind of why it's like, I was like solo for a while. I just started to get a team because it's like, at the end of the day, just like it's the same for me, I'm pretty sure this is like your baby. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's hard to trust people, and it's hard to build a team.
You'd be like questioning everybody like intentions and everybody like actions, and you'd be like, fuck. But I think...
because it could take you a week to hire one person.
Right.
And then that one person could decide to do whatever the fuck they want to do a month later, and it's like, it's just a massively time-consuming... But on the other hand, you could hire someone who's amazing... And they could be worth 10 times what you're paying them for years and years and years if you get the right person.
Right, and then that's when it becomes a family. But like when you start to go like the too corporate route, where it's like, you know, you done grabbed this person. It's cool to grab people off of like LinkedIn and shit, but it's like when you done grab somebody off LinkedIn that only came in this motherfucker because of the salary, it's like... Why would you even expect for them to care about this shit? Mm-hmm. Like when I like interview people, it's like, did you ever even buy something? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Have you ever like, tell me something about the brand? You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you're not telling me enough, then I can't fuck with you because of that one reason. Like, I don't ever want it to be something where it's not organic, because that's always been like my foundation.
Right. Have you primarily like managed to hire people that you grew up around and shit like that? Because that's kind of a gift and a curse, because on one hand, you want to hire the people that you really feel comfortable around, but those are also the people that are going to feel comfortable walking all over you, not working hard, and they might just not have the professional skills that you would want them to have in the first place.
Right, because it's like, at the end of the day, to be honest, you in business to do one thing, and that's to make money. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, at the same time, it's like how you make money. But like how you said, like, I remember, like, not even I remember shit. I hired my friends when we ship. Like, I remember when I had got a ton of orders for the first time. This is around like the BLM movement with the George Floyd and
your
all
shit
that
went shit. Crazy right then,
it was going crazy, and we were still at my mom's house, like, and we were just like, every day we made a schedule, and we were just telling people, like, you know, pull up at this time. Niggas was showing up late. Niggas was not caring, and you'd be like, fuck, I don't want it to be like this, because it's like, it's business, but it's like, damn, I'm gonna yell at my best friend, you know? Right. So it was like, you gotta separate that shit for sure. But like, after a while, the people that still doing it, I just be on them, and they know me now to where it's like, yeah, you gotta be on point when you fucking with me, because otherwise I'm gonna flip on you. Yeah. And it's not like, it's no love lost, it's just business.
But that's the worst part though, is that then sometimes you'll have somebody working for you, they're doing a shit job, then you fire them, and then they hate you, and now your friendship is fucked, and the employer thing didn't work out.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I don't hire friends for that wrong. I just kind of stay away from that. Yeah. I rather like, yeah, tell me what you want to do, and I'll try to help you the best that I can.
Yeah,
and you deal with it, and you learn for it, and you learn from it, and then you be like, shit, I want to work for you, or thank you, because like, we not finna go through that. I've been through enough like awkward times where it's like, yeah, that ain't the move.
Right, definitely. So okay, when did the brand really start to take shape, and did you call it Wicked Thoughts out the gate, or did that just come around after a while?
Well, out the gate, I'm at Crenshaw High, I'm ditching school, right? And we it's me, the homie Malcolm, Brian, and the homie Quincy. We like, oh yeah, we all finna start this little, our clothing lines. Everybody came up with their name the first day or the next day. It took me a whole year to come up with the name. And I was just ditching school. I was in the hallways, and I'm like, damn, Wicked Thoughts. I come back, I'm like, damn, Wicked Thoughts. That's it. A year later, I'm probably like in 11th grade now. They like, nigga, you still on that? And I'm like, yeah, I finally come out with the shirt. And then I just seen, like, out the duffel bag. Because I used to always carry a duffel bag because I used to sell chips and juice and shit.
Oh.
Yeah, make my little $70 a day. But
that's when you know you see somebody who's going to be a real hustler. Yeah, it's when they got a little hustle when they're young.
Yeah, I was always selling. I was always selling something.
Right.
And then I started selling the shit, the fucking shirts. And I'm like, damn, nigga, like, I went from making $70 to, like, $500. I'm like, oh. Oh yeah, this is it. Fuck this candy.
What about getting shirts made at first? Like, how did you figure it out? Did you have anyone who kind of put you on game?
No, nobody put me on game. I never had no resources, no knowledge, no nothing.
Wow.
The only thing I did was when I made my first shirts, I was going up to the Sloss and Swap meet. It was this Asian guy, and he was putting my logo on there for $5. And I'm like, nigga, every day I would come back to get more shirts, you know?
Wow.
I was going to Michael's to go get the tie-dye, and I would dye that shit myself, you know? And I'd go to school like, yo, this is what I got. And then I just started to see the hype around the school. But then after a while, I dropped out because I'm like, damn, this school shit is weak. I would only go to sell my shirts and leave.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, you know, I was like raised in like a single household. So my mom, she got work. She got work. And my dad, you know, he was a helping hand. He definitely was in my life, but he wasn't around because he's been incarcerated since I was like 3.
Damn.
So it was like, if ain't nobody going to be there to like tell me, you know, like get your ass in school. Why the fuck am I going to go to school if I don't want to be there? You know what I'm saying? So I just started to like dip out and just, I don't know, take span.
Right.
You know,
did you know from early on that you wanted to avoid a lot of the local politics?
Like, oh, gang shit
and all that. Like,
what? Nah, I think it was one of those things. I think if you really from LA, there's no way around it. So right. Like, it wasn't a thing to where I could avoid it. Like, it's actually so crazy. I mean, like, even when you skateboarding, like, it's a lot of skateboarders I know from back in the day is like cold stone killers now. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that's just what the hood gonna mold you into, regardless. But I think for me, just being a free thinker, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna work around this. But like some of my best friends is like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like I even got a story. Like I remember being on Western and Vernon. This is before C-Mac was C-Mac to y'all. Like I always like, you know what I'm saying? Like we literally got into an altercation. Right. He like, and at the time I'm like, you know, I'm getting fucked. It's actually crazy. I was getting Louisiana chicken on Western Vernon. It's this fucking big ass nigga with fucking Hoover Killer on his fucking face, his fucking forehead, like, God, where you from? I'm like, what the fuck? But luckily, I'm thinking I'm finna have to fade, bro, because I don't really like that shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, I'm like, nigga, what the fuck? My boy, he walked in like, oh, nah, this the bro. Like, you know, and I think that's what it was. Like, people, I've been like a real like foot in the community for so long, even though I'm not like officially from the hood, people just want the best for me. So they be like, oh, nah, leave him alone. Like, right. He on to something else. He different. Or, like, they'll just be like a nigga bang on me and be like, they'll be like, nigga, do you not know who this is? Like, this is, you know, like, nigga, you could bang my hood name if you need to. Like, you know, so I just never felt like I needed to be officially on to somewhere because I'm really from there, you know?
See, like, that's interesting because I feel like a lot of times, whether you're rapping or have a clothing line, it's like, the people around you might not really embrace it until somebody else embraces it. I hear that from rappers all the time, but it feels like you were really kind of relying on the network of people you had around you, and they saw that it was a real thing from the beginning, and they kind of believed in you. Huh?
Right. And I think that's just what it's going to be for anything. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, niggas could tell if you real or if you fake, you know? And I think that I was preaching what I was preaching for so long. I was saying wicked thoughts for so long. It was like, nigga, he better make it, so like let's just keep him out of trouble. You know? Like I've gotten into a shit ton of trouble, you know, but like never enough to just like get me in jail or something, you know what I'm saying?
So but when you started doing the brand, was that like enough for you to just be like, all right, I'm solely focused on that?
Nah, because at the same time I was still a young nigga, bro. Right, I can't lie, and I can't come up here and portray like I wasn't doing dumb shit or young nigga shit, because I was, you know. Right. And that's, like I said, that's just the environment that I was raised in. And you know, like my mom, thank God I got one of the best moms ever. I guess that's what we all feel like, but like she trusted me enough to let me explore life. So like whatever decisions that I made, she let me live in that, and I thank her for that, because it was like I kind of like I got fucked up in the process, but I'm here, you know, and I learned from those mistakes. And so it was kind of like, you know, all those things took its course for me to get right here today.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, okay, the name Wicked Thoughts, was that inspired by anything in particular?
Nah. So one day I'm just in school. I'm like, I'm having wicked thoughts about this guy. I'm like, man, I'm having wicked thoughts. What the fuck? And then in the back of my mind, I'm like, damn, wicked thoughts. That sound hard. And so then that's just how it was. No, like I seen something off the internet or like some fucking magazine. Wicked thoughts just came in my head one day, and I'm like, I'm rolling with that.
I like it because we all have that, and it's on you to not act upon it.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And I think it just roll off the tongue the right way, like. Wicked thoughts. Like, yeah, I got this brand, Wicked Thoughts. Like, damn, yeah. Nigga, that's hard.
That's like the biggest thing when it comes to choosing a brand name is to find something that's not like clumsy or awkward, that just sort of sounds inherently cool,
right,
but isn't obvious, hasn't been done to death. It's a tricky fucking thing.
How'd you come up with the name No Jumper?
It was so just whatever. Like, we made a big list of like a bunch of different rap lyrics
yeah.
that kind of like sounded cool.
Mm-hmm.
one of the ones that I didn't use, like, for example, was like Up North Trips. Because I just thought it sounded hard because it's a song name and shit.
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, oh, there's a blog already called that, so I'm not going to do that. But there was just like a list of all these different bars that just sounded hard, and I just picked that one. And I felt like it was a good metaphor because it's like, you know, we're doing interviews with people who maybe are not the superstars, especially at that time, but they're in the game, they're doing something, and I'm curious about them, even if they're not the number one person in their field or whatever, which is all still to this day, that's what I want to do, is like have interesting conversations regardless of if that person's necessarily going to be a huge draw, you know?
But isn't that crazy to where it's like that was always your motive, and then like out of nowhere, I mean, it's not like you can't notice, but you've made like a lot of stars from just having that genuine, like, yo, I just want to know about you. You seem interesting to me.
Yeah.
And then now, like, they're big and huge, and you'd be like, damn, like, you could reflect on their whole career because you've seen it.
Yeah. But at the same time, I think why I was drawn to podcasting, because I always think to myself, like, it's kind of weird that you gravitated so to like making content rather than doing a brand. Because I see what you're doing, and sometimes there's like a part of me that's like, it would be such dope life to just have this one goal to build this cool ass thing and just work on that day in, day out. I feel like this is so different because I have to learn a different person every time I do an interview. You know, I have to, even if I feel like I'm going crazy on top of the world, I still have to like humble myself to have a conversation with someone who's a lot of time in the very early part of their career, you know?
Right.
Something about that just kind of is addictive to me.
Yeah, but that make you the man. You know what I'm saying? Like every time like your name come up in the room, I always vouch for it. Hey, and I always say that. Like, man, Adam been fucking with me from the very start. So watch your mouth, man.
Was it the Kluxbuster logo? Yeah. That was why I reached out.
Okay, yeah, no, cool. No. But we reached out to you. I was TK and Picasso.
Right.
Those my mans. And they was like, man, I'm like, man, I would love to get some shit on Adam. He was like, what? TK was like, man, he's so cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Let's just see what happened. And like, I met you and you was hella chill. I'm like, yo, I fuck with bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the thing with me. Like, I'm not really, I don't care if you big or if you small. Like, I care about who you are as a person.
Right.
And so when I felt you out for the first time, I'm like, yeah, I rock with bro. You know what I'm saying? 100.
I appreciate that you found like a tattooed white bald guy to fucking represent your anti-racist shirt. That's very woke of you.
Nah. And honestly, like, don't get me wrong. People was like, yo, what the fuck? But I'm like, nah, chill. He cool. You know what I'm saying?
Where was the brand at that point when we first connected on Melrose and stuff? Like, where do you feel like you were at that moment?
I was just in the beginning stages. You know, I was just like starting to crack. You know, like I think it's actually so crazy. We had just that collection. Actually, that collection was a collection that we put out. That's when we put out Kluxbusters for the first time.
Right.
And we had Rich Hill, which is Tommy Hilfiger's son, right, modeled the collection on some homie shit.
Nice.
Tommy posted it. Fucking Hypebeast posted it. And then it was just starting to get like some internet action, and I started to see how fast things was growing. Wow. And then, of course, you rocked it, and then shit really started. And then I'm just like, oh shit, like this is what it is. So that was the early beginning. That was like, wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, 2017.
But so when you started to get the ball rolling there, because I kind of remember you like pulling back from doing the Kluxbuster logo because I felt like you thought that it would maybe get played out if you just kept hammering away, right, doing shit with that logo.
Well, you know what it was? I had to put the work in, you know what I'm saying? And honestly, like, I felt like the work wasn't putting in enough, you know? So, like, I had to make sure that niggas knew what Wicked Thoughts was first, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, because I started to see the reaction. I'm like, yo, to be honest, this could be a brand on its own, but I didn't want that.
Right.
I'm like, I only wanted Kluxbusters to be a segment of the brand, you know? But it was like, from the reaction that it was getting, it was like, damn, this shit's standing strong by itself. So I had to like kind of step back away from it to show people like the Paisley campaign and the Body Bag Boys and all of these things, like, you know, the Dom Kennedy collabs and the No Jumper collab, just like a brand, like, yo, we standing strong with like doing like, you know, giveaways for the kids and having 500 people pull up, you know, and all of this shit within Wicked Thoughts. And then after I got that down, I'm like, all right, now we can give it back to him, you know?
Right.
But from them waiting so long for it, when it was like a jar being like just ready to bust open for so many like years, it was like when I opened that motherfucker up, you ever seen like the fucking the Lucky Charms commercial where the shit like a rainbow just come out the ball? Like that's what it was
but
like.
But that's got to be scary not making that shirt and knowing there's that big of a demand because in our modern era, if there's anything that's in demand, there's probably a fucking bot on Amazon that's detecting when people are searching for that thing, you know? Right. It's like, I'm sure it was bootlegged like crazy over those couple of years, right?
Bro, what? If you even put that shit up right now, I had to fucking talk with my lawyer about it. He's like, yo, come with the game. But like, when I looked into it, it's like, that's when you know you made it. Yeah. It'd be like, if you go online, you probably go find fake No Jumper shit or, you know, fake fucking Supreme, fake FTP, fake anything.
I remember one time I saw a video of a bunch of kids in Mexico riding bikes and they were like all wearing fake on some shit gear. And I was just like, and this is a long time ago, like 2014. And I'm just like, you know, realizing, well, like this kind of makes sense because the shit that we're selling is too expensive realistically, and especially with importing it over the country lines.
Right.
That shit probably doesn't make any sense for them to buy it. It's kind of like you just got to take it as a compliment. Like, your shit's different because it's actually people really trying to make a shitload of money on the internet off of it. It's kind of different than these kids in this neighborhood doing it in Mexico.
They killing it, man. But I just say it's like this. If it's people out there buying fake Clexbusters, then they supposed to be buying that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the people that's really into the brand gonna buy the real ones, and the people that's in it for the hype or just don't know what the fuck it is. It's all promo at the end of the day, because it's like, you see a fake one, you ain't gonna really be able to tell the difference till you get up close and you're like, what the fuck?
But did that motivate you to do more like high-end garments with embroidering and not just make it? Because you could probably sell 500,000 fucking just plain Clexbuster logo shirts.
Yeah, that's like this.
But instead you switch it up and do different types of shit.
Yeah, we do like the tackle twill and shit. Yeah. And then come next year, we stepping into like cut and sew and really fucking with the denim and, you know, like the all type of shit. The chenille patches and all shit that look like real, real, real expensive wear that you can't just go bootleg in downtown, you know?
See, that's what I really like seeing, is because it's always kind of confused me, and I say this wearing fucking Prada shoes, but like it's always kind of like seems strange to me how dudes will like really come up and make something out of themselves in life and not even be able to find any brands that they fuck with, like the people that they came up with, the people from their area, etc., that they want to fuck with. And that's one thing that makes me really happy with my boy Desto Dub, is like I'll see a guy like Gunna rocking his shit at an award show, rocking it like it's fucking designer, and that's amazing to me. And that's what I feel like, if you really develop a brand right, people will treat it with that kind of reverence, and they won't just treat it like some merch.
While we on that subject, shout out to Desto Dub, man.
He is one of the great success stories of LA over the past few years.
Desto Dub is not only one of the success, but he's one of those people, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, Desto Dub actually used to be a Tat Man, you know what I'm saying? Like, in the 60s,
his
you know
Twitter
what
name's still Tat Man Dub.
Yeah, like he literally tat like Nipsey Hussle before Nipsey was even Nipsey at this point.
That
you know
was
what
one
saying?
Of the first ways that he ended up really fucking with so many people, is just tattooing them.
And he would be like you know, just like doing shit for Overdose, you know what I'm saying? Like I really know Dub from a different era, you know what I'm saying? So to see where he come from, where it's like, yeah, I got Young Thug wearing this shit, Roddy Rich wearing this shit, and it's like I got not one but two stores, and I got the truck, and it's like, man, when I seen y'all had the booth at Complex Con, I was just thinking to myself, I don't even think I got the chance to tell him, but I'm just like, man, I'm so proud of you, you know what I'm saying? I'm proud of him. And it's just like, that's really like a major salute to see where he's been and to where he is now. So just, you know, just shout out to Desto Dub, man. He's important.
Yeah, I could talk about that all day, because I seen him, like when they introduced me to him, they just said he's like a famous lean guy. Like Thug or Migos or whoever comes to town, they hit him up for lean. And I'm like, oh, okay, like that does sound interesting. I would like to meet him. And then, you know, he just takes that little friendship with me. He gets on the No Jumper tour. He meets Pump. He fucking becomes best friends with Pump. He's traveling the world with Pump. He uses that to promote his brand to all these people that he's meeting through that. Like, I never really seen somebody who was able to make the best out of any possible situation and turn little connections into big fucking opportunities.
He from Watts. Dude, that's like 03 Greedo. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like when you come from them places where it's like you really got no other choice, or it's like the other day, like, it's a big risk on the line for me for some shit going on right now in my life, and it's like, well, shit, if I'm right here, what's the worst this could happen? You know what I'm saying? Like, I got a lot to lose now, which I'm thankful for, but it's like I also got a lot to gain. And that's kind of how I view things now, to where it's like, you know what I'm saying, like, I come from this, like it don't matter, I could go back to that today and be cool, you know what I'm saying? But like, that I got this, it's straight, you know?
Yeah, no, I think about that all the time when I hear people talk about, like, oh yeah, like posting up outside the liquor store and shit. And right. I'm like, yeah, that's some shit you do when you don't got nothing to lose.
Right.
That's some shit you do.
Niggas ain't doing that.
When you're totally down for a random fucking crackhead to be able to ruin your night or your week by doing something to you, then yeah, you can hang outside the liquor store. If you want to, like, as soon as you start having something to protect, then you got to start moving differently and treating yourself with some respect. You know?
No, absolutely. And it's just like, that's one thing that you write about, because it's like, yo, you don't want to be like, that's how I move now. Like, my friends be like, damn, bro, you super paranoid. Or like, if I like used to fuck with Chase, it'd be like, no, let's meet up here. Like, I can't be on the same burnt out dumb shit, because it's like, it's too much. It's too much. Fuck that. I got to be like responsible, and I got to be like, I got to move in a certain way.
100%. How do you decide the pace that you want the brand to move at? Because, you know, there's so many opportunities. I'm sure you could have a store, no problem. You could afford it, but it's a big decision. Maybe you want to take your time with it. Like, how do you? I'm sure there's all kinds of shit you could have done over the last couple of years that you decided you wanted to move slow on. What's the mentality with that?
Honestly, I think the pace for me is just what feels right. I think that's the way that I do a lot of things. So it's like, if it don't feel right to me, I won't do it. And surprisingly, like, once I started getting the team, like, even for Complex Con, like, I just hired somebody. I wasn't going to do it, but like, somebody on my team was like, man, just do it. And I had the time of my life, and it was cool, but it was just like, it was like, it has to feel like fun. You know, like, when you open up a store and it's every day, you know, like, activities, and now you got this extra overhead and things like that, it's like, it's not something that you really want to do unless you want to do it. You know, and for me, like, the way my financial, you know, life looked like, it's like, I don't really need it, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it would just be an extra $10,000 or something for me, you know what I'm saying, that go somewhere else, some fun. So I mean, but like, in terms of other things, it's just like, how would I say this?
I mean, you could do a big drop every 2 weeks.
Absolutely. But then it's like, yeah, I could do a big drop every 2 weeks, or I could do something that's really thoughtful and like have the people saying, yo, what the fuck did I just see? You know, let me give them my money. You know what I'm saying? Not even let me, because that don't sound too humble, but like, let me spend some cash. You know what I'm saying? Because I respect this so much, I got to be a transaction in this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to support this, you know, because it's like, you know, I could just keep dropping this all fucking every week in a different colorway, but it's like, I'm not going to do that, because then it's like, I'm losing the love, I'm losing the value. It's like, you kind of want to make sure, like, when you're dropping, this is actually key. So, like, if y'all listening, make sure y'all listening right now. When you drop, you don't drop just to make money, but you drop to actually boost, like, stock in your brand, too. So, it's like, and that don't come from money. That come from, like, the moves outside of the money. So, like, let's say, for example, when we did the Paisley campaign, we had, like, Draco when he fresh came home, we have fucking Blueface, and then we shot this huge cinematic video showcase in my area, to where it's like, more people seen it, and then they seen like how creative we can get, and then that boosts like the whole volume up, you know. But it's like, when you just drop and then it's just like, oh, we only giving you clothes, it's like, man, I'm tired of this, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, when I do things, I try to make sure that I do them with intention, right? You know what I'm saying? And intentions take a minute for you to kind of get like clarity.
People really don't like when it seems like they're just giving money to someone who's just making shit for the purpose of making money. You know, like, people want to believe that a brand stands for something bigger than that, whether it's, you know, gear, like, when we talk about skateboard brands gearing around skateboarding, you talk about a lot of brands now try to orient their brand around charity and giving back and everything like that. And, you know, all that makes sense, but it's kind of on each individual brand to decide like what they really want to make theirs in terms of their mission.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's about really having like a mission statement and really sticking by it and really saying like, okay, I need to do this in this amount. And you'd be surprised how long shit take. Like when you really get to a certain level, you can't just dump out no shirt and expect for it to move thousands of units. Like to move thousands of units, that takes months, you know what I'm saying? A preparation. And then to the like the forefront of the people that's just like the supporters, they only see like, oh, he just dropped, but it's like, nah, nigga, 90 days went into that, or 100 days, or right. 60 days, you know?
Hey, does running Instagram ads for your brand's product take away from the legitimacy of the brand?
Man, you know what? That's actually something that I was always against. I think growing up, I was just like, not even just like in general, but growing up within like my position in the brand, I was like too cool for school. Right. And I was just like, man, I'm not running ads. Fuck that. That looks stale. Yeah. But then it's like the other day I ran them. And it just like when I don't run them personally, somebody else does it for me. And it's a tool from the internet. And I think that the internet is a tool in itself. So it's like, why not optimize and like really get your tools right? You know what I'm saying? But it's not one of those things that we do every year. I mean, every week and every day. Like we hardly run them because it is a such thing as saturating, oversaturating.
Because I've seen cool brands where I've seen the same fucking ad from that brand 30 times looking through people's stories. And I'm like,
it gets annoying.
It's a great way to get it out there, but when you're just serving it over and over and over, like you, I don't know if you have, but you would probably consider copping a billboard at one point, right? Like
that
could be cool. Buying Instagram ads is kind of like getting a billboard because it's just some shit that you're unwillingly being forced to look at.
Right.
But if you copped a cool ass billboard in Hollywood or in your area or wherever the fuck you want to get it, that's one thing because you know people aren't going to see it. Over, like maybe they see it every day for a week or a couple weeks or whatever, but it's different than when you're just seeing it over and over. I got a hoodie in the mail from this company, and as soon as I put it on, everybody in the office is like, oh, that thing from Instagram.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
damn.
I don't know if that makes me feel like this is uncool or should it make me feel like that? Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, nah, because at the end of the day, it's like, shit, people just be out here trying to get their shit like exposed. But one thing that I could say, like if you were looking, like if somebody was looking for some advice, it's like, find different ways to advertise rather than just running ads. Like,
that's a fact.
You know, get creative on them. You know what I'm saying? Make people really see it from a different light. Because then it's like when you're just doing cool shit, it's going to spread like a bad virus, man.
And in theory, you can run Instagram ads that are a lot cooler than other Instagram. Like, I feel like I've seen ads for like Coach and Gucci and all this shit, and they don't show the product.
Yeah.
They just show the branding. Yeah. And that kind of makes sense to me because, you know, if you just see the same pair of shoes 50 times on your feed,
you like, fuck them shoes,
you know,
I don't want them shoes no more. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like they show the lifestyle of it instead.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that gets to the person it's supposed to get to.
You see a Red Bull commercial on TV. It's like some weird cartoon about having wings. It's not, this is Red Bull. You should drink it. It gives you energy. You know, that's like, it's too forward.
Right.
It's like,
absolutely.
You know?
It's supposed to be like, okay, let me go check it out. Not if it's in your face.
Yeah. One person that, whether it's you or Zach from FDP or Dub, people always say like, oh man, he's like a young Virgil.
Yeah.
Like that's just a thing I've heard used over and over to describe young up and coming black clothing designers. To lose him at such a young age is really, really terrible.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that so crazy? I was just thinking, you know, the other day, I'm like, damn, you never really know what people going through.
That's a fact.
Because I've never once heard him put out or publicize like, yo, I got cancer.
Yeah.
And like to be doing everything that he was doing, he just had a show. Yeah. He just had a show. I mean, he did something the other day that I wasn't feeling, and I kind of felt bad because when he passed, I'm like, fuck, I kind of called him out on it. And I'm like, he had like this hat, and it had like holes all over it. And I just didn't understand at the time. And I'm like, this is weak. You know, because me, I say shit. I still have the same mouth that I've been having. And I try not to stray away from it, but I still try to be like, you know, me. And you know, I said something, and I'm like, damn, looking back when he passed away, I'm like, I'm like, fuck, did I really need to say that? You know what I'm saying? It made me think a little, you know what I'm saying? But I think definitely being a young Virgil is a compliment, but it's also like a race. It's like, damn, who is going to get that spot?
Right.
You know, because it's like, it's up for grabs right now. You know what I'm
How
saying?
How much attention have you paid to his career? And like, you know, there's got to just be a lot that you could relate to and learn from everything that he went through, right?
Absolutely, because it's like to be coming from Pyrex where he's fucking getting these champion shorts for $14 and putting Pyrex on them and selling them for $250. It was like that was the whole model, right? I feel like for 2014,
right after he died, I saw a dude in the casino and he was wearing a flannel shirt with some weird ass shit printed on the back, and it was totally a fucking Walmart shirt or something, and I was just thinking like, Virgil's the first one to do that, right?
Yeah. No, facts. Virgil was, he was milking the game, not milking it, but he was like how we said with Dub, just using what he had, and he really made that shit bubble. And I said that's the reference point for me, seeing somebody that come from nothing make everything, you know. So I fuck with him, man. Like, and it's definitely like, it's like I said, it's up for grabs, and that's why I come next year, like, we gonna have some outstanding, astonishing work.
Nice.
Yeah, that's absolutely
fun. Yeah, like one thing, you know, I remember Zach from FTP, shout out to him, but I remember early on he was super outspoken on Twitter.
Yeah.
He'd be saying, fuck Pink Dolphin, all this shit.
Right.
And then I feel like at a certain point, like, that was good for him, like, courting attention early on and, like, getting the brand in people's mouths. But I feel like he kind of figured out pretty early on that it might take away from the brand in the long term if he was always, like, beefing with people or whatever.
Yeah, don't nobody want you deal with, like, Nike or, like, fucking Vans. Don't nobody want to deal with the person that's saying, fuck everything. Mm. Like, you know, you got to chill out. And, you know, like, even he just hit my phone the other day. He's like, Zach is just chill. You know what I'm saying? Like, he hella cool. And I think that's what makes the brand, like, everlasting and longer lasting. Because had it been, like, the same, like, fuck, it's like, nah, I'm not rocking this. You know what I'm saying? But now it's just, like, again, the reference point is seeing this young man coming from nothing, get everything. And it's like, that will always, forever be at the top of my pedestal for me. So, yeah,
that's the American dream, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I just feel it a little more when it's coming from the district.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because it's home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. But, I mean, that, to me, from my perspective, when I think about what my kid's life is going to be like, it's like, hey, good luck. Because your dad has a good story about making it from a shitty little town and making something out of himself. You're going to have to live up to that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Where are you from again?
New Hampshire. Right. Ooh. Outside, like 45 minutes outside of Boston.
Yeah.
Not a very illustrious place.
Yeah. I ain't heard of nothing coming out there but you.
Most people would say that. Adam Sandler, one of the other main things coming out of Hash Brown Town. That's what we call it now.
Hash Brown Town.
Nobody from there calls it that, but AD called it that one time and then just kind of stuck.
Yeah.
So that might be my new brand, Hash Brown Town.
Yeah. Hey, but it stamps some shit. You know, this home.
Slicing a potato up real thin and then throwing it in the pan.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, that's what it's about, though. I think that, you know, you gotta really make something happen. You got to make it shake. And if you're able to do that, man, it's like you're a king, you're a queen. And, you know, that's what I respect.
Sure. So in terms of like where you're at right now, you probably had offers from people who want to come to you, want to make the brand start moving a lot faster, be in all kinds of different outlets and stuff. I'm sure you've had opportunities to do stuff that you don't want to do, or at least that you're conflicted about. Like, how do you feel about that?
I mean, that happens a lot. I think when that does happen, though, like, I look at the, like, everything of what could go wrong and what could go right. And also, again, like, how do I feel about it? Like, for example, like, if it don't feel right at all, I just won't even consider it. And if it feel a little right, or if I have a little relationship with this person, then I'll consider it and I'll do it.
Right.
But it's just like, it's one of those things to where it's just like, I'm pretty sure you get the same. How do you deal with that? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's a little different for us, though. Like, just for an example, my boy Johnny Cupcakes is from the Boston area, and he used to have a store on Melrose and stuff. And I remember super early on when he was making money off just his web store, and I think he had one retail store in Boston, he got the offer from Hot Topic. Like, they were trying to put in a big ass order and have his logo on shirts in every fucking Hot Topic. And he said no. And I remember being young and being kind of shocked, like, Jesus Christ, that's a big ass check you're turning down.
Right.
Now, to me, as a grown man who understands how brands work, I'm like, holy shit, that's the most no brainer idea right there. Nah. I don't know. Maybe there is some way that you could work with Hot Topic, but is going to be handled delicately for sure.
Yeah, no, nah, it's like for me, like even like Zoomies approached me a lot of times. This is probably like they just hit me up this year again. It's sort of like the third, fourth time, and every time I told them straight up, I'm okay in a nice, politely manner. But it's just like I'm good because it's like. Clearly, it's a reason why, and it's just like if money is not. I mean, of course, we're in business to make money, but that like, I really care about the reputation too. Like when it all comes down, when it's said and done, it's like Wicked Thoughts is gonna be a household name, and I don't think Zoomies would like take me there. You know, it's
well, not, they're certainly not invested in the long term brand building.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's why it's like I feel like Supreme. Is where it's at today because it doesn't really have too many retailers. It's like the only ones that I know about is just Dover Street Market, and that's all I know.
Yeah.
Just that one. And if it's anyone, like anymore, correct me, but I think it's just that.
Yeah, Supreme at every turn has always just made the decisions that were for the long-term benefit of the brand. Yeah. And you never even really seemed like, It never seemed like they were tempted or like they even thought about doing something whack, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just got to inspire any young brand. Yeah,
nah, facts. And I think that that's just what you're supposed to do. Like, you know, it's like if you in the dope game, like you're not finna just let everybody have your dope because then now we all selling the same shit. It's like.
I asked Dub that one time. I'm like, you never hit the juice with like a little bit of sun to like stretch it a little bit?
Yeah.
And he's just like, no.
Nah.
He said, nah.
It's his reputation.
He said, because motherfuckers will start pouring up and if your shit looks different, then you just will get such a bad reputation right away. Now I would assume that he probably has done that in his life to somebody.
Yeah. You're gonna do it here and there, you know what I'm saying, to get by, but it's like you're not gonna do it every time because then now you get advertised as the nigga that's gonna stretch his shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, nah, don't go fuck with that nigga Dub because he's stretching this shit with water over there. We gonna have to, you know.
Yeah
we're not doing that.
It'll take you forever, maybe never, to be able to, like, in fashion you might never recover from that bad.
Because now it's like, see, with like companies like Zoomies, like they gonna tell you what you can and what you can't do. They gonna give you that big bag, but then it's like, at what cost?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, now we need you to be corporate. We need you to listen. You better not do that.
Mm.
You bet, and then you used to the money, so it's like, oh shit, I bet not. You start forgetting who you are.
Have you had any like serious moments of controversy?
I feel like, yeah, especially with what I'm doing, but like I always been one of those like people to where it's like I don't let outside opinions really rule in on me, you know? So like if everybody wrong or if everybody mad at me, like I'm not taking it no way.
Because like the Christopher Dorner thing, I could see being really controversial, but probably not at all with your audience.
Yeah.
And it's like, why would the defend the police movement on Facebook? Why would that necessarily know or care about what the fuck you're doing? You know?
Right. Now, I feel like, see, with the ACAB shit, again, so it's still Wicked Thoughts is still a new brand. So a lot of people don't know about it. So when they come to the page and they see shit like Christopher Dorner and we did the whole short film and shit, they're like, man, what the fuck is this?
Mm.
But it's like, yo, you just don't understand the reference point. Like to me, like Christopher Dorner was cool because it was like once you read his manifesto and once you kind of see his background, it's crazy. I had somebody at Complex Con tell me who worked for Complex. That was one of my friends. And like exactly, I took the time to go look at the short film and like exactly how you had it was like something like I felt like portrayed him in the right image and the media like made him look like this when he wasn't.
Really?
And that kind of like, it touched me a lot because I'm like, wow, like, you know what I'm saying? Like this is somebody who was his everyday friend say that. It made you just feel like you do everything right. So when outside like, you know, opinions that's just going like, you know, go with the narrative of like, he's a killer or he's this. It's like, bro, I don't really listen to people. You know what I'm saying? Like how I see shit is how I need to be. So like, that's just, you know, me being a radical and just like understanding that I'm not here to be like liked by everybody. Mm-hmm. It's about the love that I get from the people that do love me.
Pretty much like guaranteed way to make your brand.
Yeah.
Not cool as if you try to just be loved by everybody.
Yeah, because then it's like, shit, now I'm reading comments and now I'm saying to myself, I better not do that again because the people going to do this. It's like, man, fuck that shit. Like, just do it. If it feel good in your heart, do it. You know what I'm saying? And that would be my advice to anybody. Mm-hmm. So, like, when we get these controversial shakeups and people don't understand it or, like, they killing us on the gram and be like, all right, this ain't for them, you know what I'm saying? It's no love lost. It's just one of those things to where it's just like, you know, got to keep going. Mm-hmm. If it was cool enough to me to put it out, you know, then it was right.
You got
to
stand by it.
I got to stand by it 100% until I outgrow it, or I can look back on it and say, damn, I was thinking like this. And, you know, because there's been times where I've done that. Like, I think I've made a shirt in my past that says something like, it said, fuck LAUSD and their brainwashing schooling systems. WTLA, let us teach you. And at the time, it was kind of like, I was just really like, damn, I don't think the school system is that good. But it's like, who am I to say that? You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes the school system could help kids. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want the kid that's looking up to my brand and that's 13 years old to be like, I'm not fucking with the school system because Wicked Thought said it. Mm. So it's like, you got to be mindful of what you put out at the same time, too. So
that's an interesting point, yeah, because it's super easy to sell, like, you know, rebellion and, you know, nihilism. Yeah. But it's kind of sometimes that you do have to be concerned with that, what the long-term effect might be on kids and everything. And also, like, the older I get, the more I look at the school system and I'm just like, well, what the fuck are they going to do, bro? Right. This is an impossible challenge, you know? Right. It's like they have no fucking money. They're trying to hire people for the most important job in the world of, like, making these kids smart and educated, and then you're going to pay them jack shit.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, I'm so thankful I'm not in charge of this fucking problem.
Right. You can't win from losing, man. But, you know, we're going to get through everything. We're gonna get through everything. I think it's headed in a good direction. I feel like just this whole generation as a whole has been, like, proven to the community and the board that, like, you know, you really can be self-taught out here, and education is just really the basics.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, it's just like, whatever you learn in school, man, stick by it, man, and do your own thing too.
Right. Do you think it's important though that kids figure out the things on their own, like, in the sense that you had to figure out a lot of shit on your own? Do you think that's a good thing? Would you ever, like, want to, like, put out a fucking guide, basically, to, like, let people know how to run a clothing company? Or is that a trade secret, sort of?
Yeah, nah. I feel like in some type of time I will.
Right.
Definitely. Because it's like, man, if I could prevent people from making so many mistakes that I've made. Like, I remember one time, just for example, like, customs errors. Like, I had, like, a design that said pink with a star, and then it said Panther. But because it had pink and a star by it, that's like a registered trademark to Victoria's Secret.
Oh.
But mind you, it said Pink Panther on it, and it was like worth like $20,000, and I spent maybe like $10,000 on it, or it was worth $30,000, and I spent $10,000, and they destroyed it. And it was like, you're not getting this back. You know, it's little things like that I would just watch how you move in certain, you know, directions and areas. And this is when it hurt my pockets. So it's like, for the kid coming up, it's like, you know, customs, watch out for customs. Watch out for, like, when you do cut and sew samples, and, you know, the times and the leads and, you know, the profit margins you should be making. I want to do that one day in my lifetime, but maybe, like, when I'm all said and done and I got, like, just billions of dollars worth of game.
So customs has people that are keeping an eye on what is on the stuff that's being imported to specifically look for copyright infringement?
Right, because the whole thing of the matter is, it's like, what about the people that's in downtown? They downtown not making all of that shit.
Yeah.
They going to the shit overseas and then they bringing it in. So it's like those big companies like Victoria's Secret, they paying customs like, yo, this is our trademark. Make sure if you see any logos like this without the number, the trademark registered number, to go back, yeah, destroy that. You know,
it's
what
just
I'm
crazy because there must be like millions of potential copyrights that they have to be keeping an eye out for.
And they telling you, you're not getting this shit back. We finna burn this up. They telling you in the most harsh manner, like, you done did a crazy crime. And I couldn't even believe it because I'm like, at the time, I'm like, this ain't even Victoria's Secret. This
right. is nobody in their right mind would ever mistake this.
Like,
for
I'm
it.
Telling them, like, look at the tag. They like, nah, man, it's Victoria's Secret. They telling me that my brand is Victoria's Secret.
But that was a basically like a licensing thing with the Pink Panther shit.
Yeah,
so that was valid.
No. Yeah, no, it wasn't even with Pink Panther. It was just some design that I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it was like, you know, shit. Even I thought it was like going to be a license issue with Pink Panther, but it was with Victoria's Secret. So when it first got back to me, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, this is copyright infringement or trademark infringement, whatever the fact. I'm like, oh, damn, Pink Panther like that? They're like, nah, it's for Victoria's Secret.
That's the thing, though, is that I don't think no matter how much you thought about it, you never would have been able to guess that that was going to happen. Because even if you had a fucking lawyer sitting right with you looking at that, like, right. you're never going to think of the Victoria's Secret's connection.
Right. And that's why I'm saying, like, that's why.
And that could cripple a brand.
Yeah. A book from me needs to come out, man. But like I said, I want to have $1 billion worth of games. So it could just be like, you spend 25, you get in a lifetime full of game.
Right.
So it's going to come out. I got to just experience more things.
For sure.
Yeah.
So do you feel like the brand needs to keep growing at a very moderate pace? It can't go from, like, you know, hypothetical numbers. It can't go from $1 million 1 year to 10 million the next year. It got to be 1, 2, 4, et cetera, right? Like, you can't afford to just go that crazy, yeah. right?
Well, it's just about, like, what could you handle? You know what I'm saying? Because that's kind of the position I'm in. Shit, it's just like, what could you handle? I mean, of course, like, you can always go crazier just by dumping the money that you get in to right back in. But like me, I don't want to burn my shit out ever. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things to where it's like a baby. You don't want to just put the little kid through the mud.
You're three.
You know?
Time to drive a car.
Yeah, you got to, you know, gradually do things and you got to gradually say, like, okay, like, let's do this, let's do that, you know? And with those things happening, then you get what you're looking for, you know? So, like, when we have a great year, we make fucking $1 million and then the next we do 5 and then it's like, you know, like, shit, you could possibly do 10, you know? But it's just like, make sure, like, when those things or those moments do happen that you prepare for, or if you can't prepare for it, you'd be able to move in it. And if you can't move in it, that's just the clear indicator that you can't do it yet. Because there's been times where it's like we do a certain amount of volume and it's just too much physically on me, mentally, physically, and then I just can't fuck with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to protect your energy, too.
Yeah. Because this shit, at the end of the day, I like to tell myself, I tried to tell myself, I'm only 25, bro.
Wow, and that's crazy.
I've been doing the brand since I was, like, you know, 17. You feel me? So it's like, all my childhood life is always, I wouldn't say been around business, but, like, I've always been business-minded. But at the same time, I'm coming from where I'm coming from. So it's like, if I'm on young nigga shit, like, sometimes I can't, because it's like, and by young nigga shit, I just mean, like, just doing bad shit, doing hood rat shit with my friends. You can't do it all the time because now you got a business and you don't want to, like, you know, jeopardize that for some temporary front. You feel me?
Yeah. So, the fact that you are that young is, and that you are from where you're from, is what makes your come up even more impressive to me, because when you come from not having shit, it's got to be so much more tempting to just fucking go for the easy cash grab with the brand and not be thinking about the long term, you know?
Right, absolutely. And I just think that with that, it's like, you know, what is your intentions? Yeah. You know, when I came in the game, like I said, I never wanted the money. I just wanted the reputation. Mm. I already knew the money was going to come because on me, you know, like I said, I've been selling chips, candies. When I was like in the third grade, I would have my big sister fucking like put paper over like the fucking TV screen and trace over little Dragon Ball Z characters and sell them.
Oh, wow.
I was selling them for like $10 in the fifth grade,
wow.
Third grade. Just really getting, like, I've always, anybody will tell you, damn, Khalil's always been making money his whole life.
Right.
So it's like, money wasn't really my objective. My objective was just being like someone interested in clothing and saying, I want to make my own and I want to make great clothes and I wanted to have substance and I wanted to be a household name. So,
beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Anything you can tell us in terms of where the brand might be going in the next year or two? Big things you have planned? Any sneak peeks?
I think that honestly, man, I'm really excited. I won't say, but it's definitely a shoe collab coming out next year with a mainstream brand. Not even a mainstream, just a household brand that everybody is going to like go crazy about. And on top of that, getting ready for the whole Klux Busters tour. I want to do a tour and just like just really like stop in certain states and do pop-ups. I'm excited about that. And then, really hop into my cinema bag, because when we do these short films, I do be like seeing the response and people being like, man, you should fucking like do something. So I'm like, what if I did? You know what I'm saying? And I just want to take that with Wicked Thoughts and hopefully something come out of that. Because I think just a life goal of mine is just to work with A24. I would love to work with A24, which is like a It's like a movie company. I think, are you familiar with Mikey from IC?
We've done some videos with him.
He's worked with A24. They put out the movie mid-90s.
Right, oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I want to do something like that, but like...
Or was it North Hollywood? That was his movie.
Yeah, he did both.
Oh, they did
mid-90s, he did that with Jonah Hill, and then he did North Hollywood, I think.
That was like just him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Wow.
You know, I just... it's a couple things, and it's a lot of shit that I can't say. So it's just like, you know, you just got to keep your eyes peeled, man. Wicked Thoughts is going to have a big... year, and just 5 years in general, because that's how we think in 5-10 years. So, you know, it's a lot coming up. Just be ready for it.
For sure, man. I feel like it was a legendary interview. You're letting us in on a lot of things that are yet to come.
No, 100%.
Yeah, my man. I'm very proud of you. It's been a wild thing. I've seen a lot of artists grow up out of, you know, like seeing their careers early on, but to see people like you and Dub blowing your fucking brands up and doing everything right and thinking about the long term is very motivational.
You got to, because it's like, it's needed. It's needed for somebody to see, because I try to look at it like, you know, I want to be like a Dom Kennedy or a Nip to somebody coming up, to where it's like, man, I seen Khalil go from this to that. I could do it too. All right, you know, if they don't look at me, they could look at Dub or anybody coming up out the district.
Yeah.
You can do it. Whatever you see me doing, you could do it too.
And there's a lot of people watching this who need to hear that, and they have a fucking seedling of something.
Yeah.
And they just need to chase after it. And I honestly, even like, I'm at a different point in my life where I already kind of built something, but I need that fucking motivation, because that's the motivation that's going to make you win, is really having that excitement for it.
Y'all got that. Y'all got that for sure, man. Y'all, it's in the back.
We got Laura.
Man.
She's our Energizer Bunny now, you know?
Shout out Laura, you know what I'm saying? And shout out Gina, you know what I'm
saying?
Shout
out Gina.
Yeah, shout out all y'all.
And to a lesser extent, these white people over here.
Nah, shout out them, because they making it happen. They're around them big-ass computers, and that's the shit that's going down, you know what I'm saying?
Look at him, he got a pink hoodie on. All right.
No, 100%, man. Thank you for the opportunity to even do this.
We're going to do another collab one day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go.
It's on camera, it's on film, man. The No Jumper Wicked Thoughts is coming soon. We're gonna do it, have a nice pop up, and it's gonna be crazy.
I still think that one graphic we did is like by far one of my favorite things we ever made.
I seen you when you did the Dame Dash interview,
brought
man.
It back.
I love
and the academics one.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just bring that back from time to time.
I love that, man. I was like, man, I love Adam, man. He's got a special place in my heart for sure.
Much love, man.
Love, bro.
Khalil.
Let's do it.
Wicked Thoughts. I'm proud of you, bro.
Come on.
My guy. No Jumper. Coolest podcast in the world. Check us on YouTube, all that shit. Go check out his site. We'll put the link in the description. I'm motivated now.
Let's do it.
I'm going to go get some work done.
Let's get it.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.